Thank you for joining us on Sheridan County Ag Update. Today I have with me the Director of Conservation with the Sheridan Community Land Trust, John Graves. Before we get started, I want to say thank you to Heartland Kubota and Truebill Builders for being our sponsors today. We really appreciate it. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Having you back.
Oh, yeah. It's always great to be here.
Always a good time.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what there is so much going on out at the Big Goose area. It's crazy. What are you guys doing?
We're doing everything. We are so busy out there. You know, we've got obviously our trails out there on a recreation program. Jared's working hard. He keeps building more and more trails out there at the Big Goose Natural Area, plus the Bridges property. Jared now has new trails out there as well.
Okay.
Kevin's working hard on all the history things we have going on out there. More to come on that. Not all finalized yet, but he's working hard to get some cool things going on out there. But we also have a lot of conservation things going on. So the big thing we have right now is all about fencing, the world of fencing. I've kind of been living that this summer on two fronts. The first
there
one
used to be a war over that, Sheridan-Johnson County war.
That's right. Fencing is a big deal in Wyoming and across the West. One of the big parts of fencing we've really been working on is wildlife-friendly fencing. And so we were fortunate enough to get a great grant where we removed all of our old fencing from the property and put in wildlife-friendly fencing. Before that, it was old sheep fencing that was just tangled up and falling over, just grown over, really terrible, and not really doing its job of keeping the cattle where they're supposed to be, but it also wasn't letting the wildlife pass through. And so with the grant that we got from the WWNRT here in Wyoming, we were able to build some demonstration fence of wildlife-friendly fencing that is letting all the wildlife out there easily pass through across the pasture, but keeping the cattle where they're supposed to be, which is a great thing, right? Purpose of the fences, they serve a purpose. People forget that fences are important. So we need those fences out there, but you know, we're all about letting the wildlife move about the land, traverse it, go where they need to go. And it's been great so far. You know, we're really happy with what we've seen out there. We did build some display fencing out there as well of what the old fencing looked like. And it really highlights why it was not wildlife friendly fencing. You know, this crazy statistic here is that I hardly believe, but it's been researched over and over again. For every 2.1 miles of fence here in Wyoming, there's one wildlife death per year.
Crazily enough, that does not surprise me because I've actually myself out there have cut deer out of the fence, and you know, they get a leg hung or a fawn can't get through. You know, there's so many things that happen,
you know, and of course we don't want to see any wildlife deaths. Of course we don't want to see that, but let's look at it from the rancher's perspective too. That was time you just had to put into that fence and money, right? So if we can build these wildlife friendly fences, that's saving the rancher time and money. There's not enough hours in the day. We all know that. You know, if that rancher could be using their time better, not fixing fence, not cutting a deer out, anything like that, you know, that's really a great win for everything.
Well, and I think that to kind of go back to that, I think so many people don't realize it, but your farmers and ranchers are really true they're very conservation minded in just the everyday things that they do. You know, most of them don't want to see the wildlife injured. Or I mean, they wouldn't have animals if they didn't care about all of them. They don't want to, they only take them if they're hunting. They only take what they use. It's not just a sport thing. They use what they take, just like with the soils, what they take out, they put back in. And so I really think that they were truly the conservationist before it became such a in the public light.
For sure, right? You know, with all of our conservation programs, we always say like the landowners, the ranchers are the best stewards of the land. They know the land. They know what it needs. They know what it takes to manage it properly. And, you know, our entire society here and most of our society here in Sheridan County, it's all about ag and it's something we got to keep supporting. It's a great thing here. But yeah, we're really excited. We built a few different versions of wildlife friendly fencing out there, Big Goose Natural Area, because not every solution works for every producer, right? And there's no one size fits all. So we built a few different versions, kind of a standard one that you see in most places, a lay down fence, which is great for people who get heavy snow loads and elk. Mm-hmm. You know, elk can be really hard on some cattle fences. And so this lay down fence really works when you don't have cattle in that particular pasture. And then also kind of a fence that's more, you collapse the wire so it's not as tall and not as low to the ground when your cattle or other livestock are not grazing in that area. And so, you know, coming out to the Big Goose Natural Area, we got lots of different educational things related to fencing, and we'll be happy to show people around. It's been great.
Well, that sounds, actually, I'm interested now. I'll have to stop one night on my way by and check this out because there is so much wildlife out on Big Goose. And so, I mean, what a great place to test it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got anything for turkeys? I've got a plethora of turkeys.
We have a lot of turkeys out there too. Yeah.
Just thought I'd ask. I mean, if we're talking about it, I just thought I would ask. So, quality Kubota machinery and customer care from the heart. Proudly serving Sheridan and the surrounding area since 1996. Go online to heartlandkubota.com or stop by Heartland Kubota, 2450 Heartland Drive. So I know that there's been some talk about some virtual fencing, and I know that you've had a few people who have tested this. So is that something you guys are ready to kind of roll out or talk about at least?
This virtual fencing, it's been around for several years. It kind of originated in New Zealand, and then it's been here in the States for just over a year with most of the companies. There's kind of three big technology providers for this virtual fencing. We've partnered with a company called Halter, and they're from New Zealand. They have headquarters in Colorado, and then they're up here in Wyoming all the time. And so we have a great pilot program going on. Now, virtual fencing is hard to explain for those that have never heard about it before, but it's really cool. It's the ultimate in wildlife-friendly fencing because there is no fencing. There is a tower that's put on somebody's land that talks to a collar that goes around the neck of livestock. And then through the computer and your app on your phone, you can virtually put in boundaries or fence lines to keep the animals where they're supposed to be. It sounds so simple, and it pretty much is. It's all based on technology. With Halter, all their towers are powered by solar panels.
Oh, wow.
And then the collars on the cow's necks are also powered by solar panels. So it's really cool. There's no batteries you have to change. You know, you put the collars on the cows one time, and they're good to go. The battery keeps charging. It's great technology. We're working with three different landowners here in the county. One is kind of more on some flat bottom hay meadows. One has a bunch of property against the hills of the Bighorns, right against the face there. And another one's kind of eastern Sheridan County with those big hills that we're used to with the big steep draws. Our purpose in this was to test this technology in multiple landscapes in Sheridan. What we're looking to do is to really educate the public. Is virtual fencing a good thing? Is it not? What are the drawbacks of it? We don't know. But we want to gather data through this pilot program for the next 3 years and then present it back to the public. And next summer in 2026, we're going to have a fall tour on these properties. We're going to invite the public out to learn more about it, see it happening right there in front of them, see the collars on the cows, see how the cows respect that virtual barrier and learn to not go where they're not supposed to be. There's so many applications for this, right? Now these producers are not constantly running hot wire day in and day out. They're not moving their herd constantly. They can keep the cows away from areas they don't want them to be, such as in different riparian areas, if they only want them to access the river through a certain location. All through the app, this can be done. It's pretty amazing. We were out on one of these properties the other week helping them collar, and then we turned the herd out, about 100 head, out into their training pastures, they call it. And within 5 minutes, the cows were already learning what the cues in the collar were.
Cows are not as dumb as people think they are.
They're not dumb. They are not dumb. People think that, but they're smart, and they can really figure things out. It was so cool to see, you know, these collars, they give off various cues for the cattle between vibration and beeping and then a stimulus pulse to turn them around if needed. It was amazing to see once the cows got close to the boundary, the little beeping those start happening, which is right next to their ears, and the cows were just, they were learning it so fast. It was so cool to see, and all without any cowboys or anybody around helping them out. They just did it on their own. And so the amount of time savings and fence cost, labor, everything savings for these ranchers is great.
Oh,
but you know, we're with these three, with these three ranchers we're working with, they're going to be journaling. They're going to be taking notes
okay.
on the good and the bad because mm-hmm. everything has pluses and minuses. We oh. don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really want to present the hands-on, what the real ranchers are experiencing to other producers so they learn. It's not right for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but it might be right for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And if it helps them save time and money, it's great.
Well, I would be interested to see because I think that there's probably some old school ranchers. My dad would have been one of them who's like, I'm not doing this technology and, you know, I'm an old cowboy. And but I think as you start to have these younger, the next generations take over mm-hmm. and then the next generation take over, they're really finding the benefits because of, I mean, ranching is hard work.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work and time and if there's a way to make, like you said earlier, if there's a way to make that better,
yeah.
then I think that, I hope people are open to that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, technology, it's good and it's bad. We all mm-hmm. know that. And, you know, mm-hmm. but sometimes something new comes out that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And if it worked for a rancher, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really excited to see what comes of this. So it's a 3-year project we're doing. Mm-hmm. So like I said, the first, ranch tour is going to be this coming summer, 2026. We're going to do a follow-up ranch tour 3 years later to really allow our three producers to share their experiences after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We all know change takes time in the landscape. So some of these producers, they want to see a change in their grazing habits, maybe increase their grazing efficiency and stocking rate through this program. And so after 3 years, we hope we can start to see some of those benefits and what's going to come of it.
Well, after 3 years, they're going to have a very good idea if this actually worked,
mm-hmm.
if it didn't work, who it works for,
yeah.
you know, it's, and the change of seasons here, how's the 20 below and the weather going to affect it yeah. or the 100 degrees and there's not a lot of trees, it's hot. I mean, there's definitely a lot of variables,
lots.
I think, in this.
And in our region, we all know, what, a couple of years ago, we had such a dry summer.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, we were very fortunate. It was very wet, lots of grass out there right now. And you know, year-to-year changes.
Mm-hmm.
What are the differences?
Mm-hmm. You know, it would be interesting to see one of the vet companies, and I don't want to say the wrong one, but there's one of the large pharmaceutical companies has come out with an ear tag button that looks like a RFID
mm-hmm.
that you put in, and it actually monitors your cow's ovulation cycles, yeah. at temperatures, everything, any kind of health issues going on. So it'd be interesting to see how those two would work together.
It would, yeah. You know, there's technology, right?
Exactly.
More and more.
Who knew?
I know people in Colorado with their bison, and they have GPS ear tags now on all their bison. You know, it's a 3,000 head operation, and mm-hmm. they want to know their bison are. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, with partnering with Halter for this virtual fence,
mm-hmm.
they're developing more and more things. You know, all the collars do also connect to GPS, so you can see right on your phone, and it updates every time the animal moves 100 feet, I think is when it updates the GPS signal. So you can look on your phone and like, hey, they're all right there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, and they keep developing more and more applications within their software that are useful for
mm-hmm.
ranchers. So I don't know. It's changing every day.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I might have to go take a tour, be
you
nosy,
should.
See
That's
how
right.
see what it does. Yep. See how
we
it
are,
is.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, we are installing a tower out at Big Goose Natural Area. We have cattle out there right now grazing away with virtual mm-hmm. fencing. And so we'll be doing some demonstrations over there, and we'll announce it everywhere. Social media, shared in media, all the places. So
all the fun
places.
We'll
let everybody know.
Making plans for building a new barn, shop, or commercial building? Don't do any planning without a call to Sheridan's premier post-frame building and homes builder, True Built Builders, online at truebuiltbuilders.com. So one of the other things I know that you guys have been doing out there is some grass treatments, some of the invasive species. Let's touch on that a little bit as
man.
Well.
Yeah. like I said at the beginning, right? We've had a busy summer. Mm-hmm. Invasive species. So the big one, and it's been a little controversial, not going to lie, is our removal of invasive junipers from our grassland habitat. Now, these encroaching conifers, these junipers, they're not native to the grassland habitat. I mean, many people don't know that. They are native to Wyoming, though, just not the grassland habitat. And so, you know, we're working towards really improving all the grasses out there on our property. Mm-hmm. One, for the wildlife, and two, for the grazing of the cattle out in that area. And so what happens with these junipers is they come in, they take root, and they just rob resources from all these native grasses. They really drink a lot of water. Underneath their canopy on the soil, it kills off all vegetation, which really leads to invasive grasses coming in. The cheatgrass, the vetinata, it's terrible. Over the years, why they've really developed in this region over the years is through fire suppression. You know, as a society, we've done a lot of fire suppression, and so that's how these junipers have taken root. And when a fire comes through now with all the junipers out there, that fire just burns hotter, more intense, and it's harder to put out, which is not good, right? There's a lot of homes out there. We don't want to see anybody lose their home. But also, it's just taking away all the resources from the native grasses. And so when there's a native grass fire, that fire just sweeps across the prairie, burns it down, but it doesn't burn very hot. It doesn't kill the microbes in the soil, doesn't kill all the little organisms living in the soil. And so getting rid of these junipers, we're really trying to help the habitat that's out there, all the nesting birds, all the wildlife that's out there, really trying to help with that.
It's helped the turkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. Also along our creek, as many people know about this one, is Russian olives. Russian olives are very invasive.
That's actually the one I was guessing before the junipers was the Russian olive trees.
Because they get so big, right?
They do.
So
and easy fast. To see.
I know. You know, drinking over 100 gallons of water a day, they just rob resources. They grow along the creek banks. You know, you drive along Big Goose, you can just easily pick them out. That light green, if you haven't seen them before, once you know what a Russian olive looks like, you'll never forget.
They're in my yard. Yeah. Just come a mile on up. If you haven't seen it, they're right there. Just check them out.
And as many people know who've tried to cut them down, they're very prickly. And they don't feel good when they cut your arms up and your head up and you're trying to cut them down. So, again, through a grant from the state that we got, we hired a local contractor to come in and mulch down all of our junipers and all of our Russian olives, which is great because it's really enhancing the habitat. So instead of just cutting and removing the trees, we mulched them all the way down to the stumps, down to the bare soil. All of that material that was mulched is now laying there. It's going to decompose in the next couple of years, feed the nutrients back into the soil. We will spray the Russian olive stumps to ensure they don't come back. But through this, it'll really help all down by the along the creek bottoms, all those cottonwoods come back, develop that deer habitat, grow some great grass under the shade of those cottonwoods, up on the hills, get the native grasses to come back in. We're really excited to see what's going to happen the next couple of years to that habitat there. You know, it's a great, great area, lots of water, lots of resources for the habitat there. What's really great is all of our neighbors have now come together, about three or four of them, and they hired the same contractor, and he's removing all their Russian olives. So it's really going to open things up. A lot of them is grazing land, and so it's really going to open things up for their cattle to graze more efficiently and utilize the land better. So we're excited to see it. Along the creek there, we're hoping that we'll see an increase in water flow too, because now all these trees won't be robbing all that water out of the creek. Keep water in the creek, help the fish regain some land in there and be a great little fishery there for us. So we're excited to see.
Which, surprisingly, there are quite a few fish in Big Goose.
There are. I mean, there's some deep pools along that creek. We have a couple. We're trying to develop a couple more along our property line for people to use for fishing. More to come in the next couple of years. That's a long, big project we're working on. So that's not an overnight thing, but you know, more to come on that one.
We had a steer dive off in the one big hole and comes on the bend in ours, and we all kind of were like, Oh, is Fred coming back up? And pretty quick he popped back up, but it was, man, that was a deep old hole.
There are some deep ones there.
And I don't think people realize that. Like, I know that there's a lot of people that float big goose and that sort of thing. And a lot of times it's very shallow in a lot of spots, but there are some pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, when it flooded a few years ago, we actually ended up with a big scraper tire that we have no idea where it came from. I have no idea how to get it out, but there it sits, you know? And and so when it floods, you get all kinds of extras. You get the neighbor's extras.
That happens. Yep. That can happen for sure. The other big invasive species that we all know about is cheatgrass. Also vetinata. Mm-hmm. Vetinata is really, really bad in this region. And there's hardly any benefits of vetinata. You know, I know many people in this community have researched it, you know, at least with cheatgrass, downy brome, there's some nutritional value in it early on in the season before it heads out and the cattle try to get those seeds in their mouth. But vetinata, there's nothing good about it. It's just very aggressive and it's taken over this area. And so UW Extension, they have a few research plots out on our property trying to study the best herbicide mixture, grazing pattern, all the things to control vetinata.
Mm-hmm.
They're still partway through their research on our property on that. Other parts of our property, we did spray for vetinata. And gosh, has the landscape bounced back from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you can clearly see a definitive line in the grasses of what was treated and what wasn't. The herbicide that was used was Rejuvra, which was developed, the application was developed by the UW Extension office here in Sheridan. Brian Mueller and his team, his whole team, just do a great job with all this research.
Mm-hmm.
It was this summer, you know, again, it was great that we had so much moisture, but it was also great to see the landscape just bounce back and not have those invasive annual grasses stealing, robbing all the resources and really allowed all the native grasses to just thrive out there. You know, the cattle we have grazing out there now, they just got turned out the other day. There's tons of forage for them this year. It's awesome. And that's with all the deer we have out there that have just been munching away all summer long. So it's great to see. It really is.
You know, the amount of moisture we had this year, we have grass still left and we've had cows out on it all summer. And we're sitting here thinking, wow, we can probably leave these things till December. So till, you know, depending on the snow and the freeze and everything for the water, but we're going to be able to leave them longer than we usually do just because of there's so much.
It's been great to see, you know, and I know everyone's been putting up so much hay. They're calling for a hard winter. We're going to see what actually comes, you know, it's, you know, hit or miss, I guess, but you know, I think we're all gonna be ready for a hard winter if it comes because, like you said, we've been able to leave the animals out grazing so long. Plus, everybody put up so much hay this year.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great.
I know that there's got to be some old wives' tale that the old ranchers know, and I wish my dad was still here to tell me those things. But if any of you are listening and you've got a really good one, let me know because I'd love to hear those old wives' tales. You know, if you have this, you have this, and so yeah, call me with those.
Sometimes they're pretty darn accurate.
They are. You know? They are. Those old timers knew a thing or two.
They did.
Or two. So if someone, let's say, I'll just use us for instance, because we're so close to you. We come to you guys and we're like, listen, we've got a whole bunch of these Russian olives. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of just invasive species. How can you guys help the landowners?
Yeah, a few options. We have great resources here in town that help out landowners beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sometimes, depending on the project, we pass you along and connect you with these other resources, such as the Weed and Pest here in town and our CS. They have great resources that will help with cost share for landowners. Depending on the project, we'll come in because we have a great group of volunteers that love working on these projects. Removing fence to put in wildlife-friendly fence. Removing junipers. It's a lot of hard work, as we all know. But we've had some great volunteers help us with those projects before. And so depending on the project, just reach out to us. Let us know what you're looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do our best to find money to help pay for it, bring in a volunteer group, bring in our interns in the summer to help tackle these projects and help out the landowners.
Well, and here's another question for you, because I'm sure down on that piece of land there with the creek going through, you know, back in the, I don't know, 40s and 50s, the idea of the conservation to keep the creek from eroding away was to put old vehicles. And then you got the guys who put slabs of concrete or whatever, and they were meaning well. But then as we find out, these things cause more issues. Mm-hmm. Is there help to remove that and try to take it back to native and help keep that from eroding around, like those big corners on Big Goose Creek? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you guys help with?
Sometimes it's best to leave them there, mm-hmm. because there are downsides to them, but they are usually doing their job now. Mm-hmm. Now that they've been in the ground long enough, mm-hmm. things have kind of solidified around those concrete chunks. And so sometimes it's best just to leave them.
It would do more harm than good now to remove them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The Sheridan County Conservation District, Carrie is awesome about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. She's so smart when it comes to those things and really mm-hmm. helps landowners realize what's good and what's bad. Mm-hmm. And she's just an expert at it. Mm-hmm. Part of our larger project that I kind of hinted at the Big Goose Natural Area mm-hmm. is this giant creek restoration rehabilitation down there. Mm-hmm. We want to develop the creek to be a fishery and has fishing access. And right now it's not ideal. Mm-hmm. The creek temperature gets very hot, mm-hmm. which is not ideal for certain types of fish. And I am not an expert in creek stuff or fishing, which is why we bring in the experts to do the project for us. Mm-hmm. It's a three to four year project we're working on with Fish and Wildlife, Sheridan County Conservation District. And our goal is just to stabilize the creek banks where it's needed, mm-hmm. And then develop that habitat for the fish. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're kind of on phase two, I think, right now. We've already had it assessed, and then we're starting to work on the design. It's about a mile of the creek we're working on, trying to stabilize that and really develop it. And so, you know, I know in part of the design plans, they are planning on removing some of those cars. But mm-hmm. like I said, some of the cars they do want to keep because they are kind of doing their job. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be interested in that. Yeah. That's, again, I think all up and down the creek that you have that. And again, back in the old days, that's just what, that's what they had, and that's what they utilized.
And the random neighbor's thing that's floating down the creek, too, when there's a big runoff and flood. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Every year. So what else have you got going on out there? Like you said, lots of stuff.
Yeah, you know, we always continue to work with landowners on other creek stabilization projects, not mm-hmm. on larger creeks, rivers, mm-hmm. but on kind of the smaller streams mm-hmm. to help restore wetlands. We're working on a couple projects still in the area, just trying to see what tools and technology we can help learn and then teach the community about that they can then implement on their properties to help with protecting their grazing lands from eroding away, developing more cottonwood habitats for deer. We have one landowner that really wants to get more mule deer on their property. For hunting and just because mm-hmm. mule deer, and he wants more there. And so we're working with him to stabilize some runoff and drainage areas to help with that habitat. The big thing that we do as land trust, though, is conservation easements. Mm-hmm. Conservation easements are a great thing. You know, we're working on 8 projects right now, active projects, a few more in the pipeline that landowners are looking to do a conservation easement on. We were kind of going along with just about 4 or 5 projects. And then all of a sudden, the last few months, people are like, this is the ticket. This is for me. Mm-hmm. We have tons of information on our website, which I encourage everybody to go and look at our website, SheridanCLT.org, to learn more about all of our projects. But conservation easements, people are learning more and more about them. Mm-hmm. They're learning that they potentially could have a tax deduction by doing one. They're learning that they could potentially get a large sum of money to help offset some of the costs for doing a conservation easement. And they can use that money to pay off debt, to expand their ag operation. Mm-hmm. And we've been contacted recently by quite a few people looking at estate planning. They want to ensure that their land is protected forever. and passing it down to their heirs. They want to ensure that it remains intact. And so, you know, a conservation easement can help with all those items, whatever the landowner might be looking to do. I just encourage people to give me a call, send me an email, and we can talk through a conservation easement, because there's a lot to it. You know, it's not cut and dry, and every property is different.
Well, and there used to be, again, the older ranchers, there's such a stigma behind it. Well, I can't do this with my own land. Well, that's not really the case. It's more just, we want to keep it intact as is. You can still do these things. There, yet, like you said, there's so much to it that I think, but again, that that thought process has to change, and that stigma had to go away.
You are not wrong in that maybe some older conservation easements from other organizations were very restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to deny that fact whatsoever. I've heard of horror stories with them.
Mm-hmm.
And at SCLT, we've really worked to scale ours back to be as least restrictive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put on some restrictions, right? The principal things that are being restricted are that the land cannot be subdivided,
mm-hmm.
and we're preventing future development of buildings. That's not to say no new buildings can be built, because people build new ag buildings all the time,
mm-hmm.
which can be allowed within certain restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
But we really are trying to stop the subdivision of vital ag land out here, and just give an avenue for these landowners for another revenue stream that might help them out with their operation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can protect the view sheds here in Sheridan County, protect wildlife habitat, mm-hmm. and then protect our working lands, that's our goal. That's what we really want to achieve.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if you have an old barn that needs to come down and you need to put a new barn back up, that's not the things you're restricting.
No, not
those at all. those are common things that happen on any kind of ag, or you need to add a hay shed or something. But you know, unfortunately, they don't make any more land.
They don't.
What we got is what we got.
That's right.
And I'm a big proponent, not that I don't think development is great, not that I don't think that people coming to our community is great, but it's so sad to drive around these days and see all the hay fields that now have houses on them. And so I think that's really what you guys are trying to help the landowners to do, to be able to pass that down to their next generation.
Right. It really is. We work hard to try to just keep things intact, you know. You know, it's every situation is unique. Every landowner situation is unique. Their goals, their priorities, they're all unique. And we can usually accommodate just about every single request that they come to us with for a conservation easement. And so, you know, again, we're not out there to dictate how somebody uses their land. They're the landowners and they know it best. We don't. We're just there to help facilitate the conservation easement and ensure what's necessary to be protected is protected.
So what I'm hearing is, don't be scared to make the phone call.
Just call
and have the discussion.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you're not signing up for it just because you call.
No.
You can just have the discussion and then go from there.
Yeah. I probably talk to at least one person a week, at least, that wants more information. And I might never hear back from them again. And that's okay. At least I gave them the information and they made their decision.
Well, they're at least thinking about it.
That's right. Yeah.
And it either, you know, helps to maybe meet with the family and again, the estate planning part of it.
Yeah. That's a big one right now, is estate planning. It's really popular. I'm not sure what's going on out there, but everyone's starting to work on their future plans. So,
well, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So what else is going on out there? We kind of have we covered the big things for now.
We covered all the big things within the conservation world. You know, we're going to have a lot more announcements on what's going on in the Big Goose Natural Area soon in the next few months. So, you know, make sure everyone, you all check out our website, SheridanCLT.org. More to come, and the community is really going to enjoy it. It'll be great.
Well, I just want to say, as a neighbor and a landowner out there, it's been so fun to see the different things that are being done out there and how it really is being brought back to what it was.
Yeah.
You know, the
it's been
the,
cool.
Yeah. It's been really nice. So thank you guys for that. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll have you back again because there is a whole lot of stuff going on out there, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
So, we'll plan another one.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you again to our sponsors, True Built Builders and Heartland Kubota. We can't do these without you. And check out more news, sports, and podcasts on sharedmedia.com.